So listen, we've been in this series in the book of Hebrews. Are you ready for this? We started back in October of last year. And so we took a break in January. We took a break after Easter, but we've come back to this. According to my notes, this is part 22 of this series. And we are just taking the book of Hebrews literally verse by verse. And we're just going through it and taking our time and seeing what God has to say. And so let me just kind of give you a synopsis of it. I think over 12 or 13 times in the book, the writer mentions that Jesus is greater than. He's greater than angels and greater than Moses and greater than Aaron and greater than the old covenant. He's just greater. And so we've been kind of looking through the book of Hebrews and seeing how wonderful and amazing Jesus is. And so all the other messages are on our website or they're on our Facebook if you want to watch them, if you missed any or if you missed last week. But we begin each week with these two thoughts in mind, if you could put it up. These two thoughts. Not that one. That's communion. But you'll get it. What has Jesus accomplished is the first one. And then why should Jesus be worshipped? What has Jesus accomplished and why Jesus would be worshipped? So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead over to Hebrews chapter 11. If you want to find that, if it's on your device, that's fine. But Hebrews 11 is kind of known as the faith chapter. And so some people call it the heroes of the faith. And so the writer is telling us all these great men, and you're going to love this, and women of great faith. And so next week, Pastor Gwen's going to be here. She's going to be sharing a little bit from the life of Sarah. We'll mention her today, but I don't want to get into detail. But he's telling them about, he begins with Abel, and Abel was about worship, and Enoch was about walk. And last week we talked about Noah, who was about work and doing for God. And so we're going to look at Abraham today. Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 8. Do we have it or no? Oh, they're figuring it out. I'm going to ask you to stand. Could you stand for the reading of God's word just out of respect? And then remain standing for prayer. Here's what it says, and it'll appear on the screen in just a minute when they figure it out. By faith, listen to this, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Verse 11, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he was as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. Verse 14, we're almost done. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of that country they had left, then they would have the opportunity to return. Instead, get this, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly place, or a heavenly one, excuse me. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your word. And Lord, I just pray over the next few minutes as we dive into your word that we would hear from you. Holy Spirit, we give you permission to bring conviction to our lives. If there's things in our lives that are not lining up with you, God, we want to change. We want to know. And Lord, let this be an encouraging message, because I know so many people go through what we're going to talk about today. And so speak to us today, God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I have included... Did we get it up? Yes, no, maybe so. I'm not getting anything from you guys. Did we get the... Okay, it's part 22. Should be there. It's on the drive. All right, so listen. I put my notes in your bulletin if you want to follow along. And for some of you, now you're going to have to follow along. No, that's my communion. So here we go. So I mentioned earlier that... this chapter is all about faith. In verse 1, we see that faith is this idea of trusting in things we don't understand, believing God even though we don't see everything. And so I put in your notes this sentence. It says this, faith is all about really waiting on God. It's all about waiting on God. And I know you might not want to hear this, but we're just going to talk today about waiting. About waiting. And so faith is really about waiting on God. And I want to begin by kind of just making a confession. I don't like to wait. I love it when I get the traffic light. I love it when I get somewhere and there's no line. I love it when my phone has 4 bars and I don't have to wait for something. I love that. And I haven't really met a whole lot of people that love waiting in their life. And so I want to talk about waiting today. Why are you laughing? Isn't that awkward? We don't like to wait. And it's so funny, I didn't know how you guys were going to react, but within seconds, people began to look up and smile and like, what is he doing? And then Margie waved at me for no reason. I don't know why. She was just like, he's waiting, I'll wave, I guess. I don't know. We don't like to wait, do we? The life of Abraham, it's all about waiting. It's all about waiting and trusting God. Listen, one of God's greatest tools in his toolbox to shape and mold you is waiting. One of his greatest tools that he has in this life to make you into the man, the woman, the teenager, the young person that God wants you to be is waiting, is trusting him. In over 4 decades of serving God, in over almost 3 decades of being in ministry, God has used this tool the most in my life of anything. I believe part of the reasons I am who I am today is because of the waiting that I've had to do in my life. The waiting. So if you have your Bibles, we read a little bit of Hebrews. Let's jump over to Genesis chapter 12. We're going to spend some time there. Genesis chapter 12. And so this week, I thought a lot about how much waiting we do in our lives. And so I just wrote a couple things down. Listen, you wait for a doctor's appointment, right? Sometimes you get in early. Sometimes you get in late. There was this one opportunity where my wife and I had to do chemo, and there was a snowstorm. This was going back a couple years ago. There was a snowstorm, and they closed down the hospital the day before. And so everybody that was scheduled to do chemo that day was scheduled on the day I went. And we got to the hospital a little bit before our appointment, and I waited 5.5 hours in the hospital to then sit in a chair for 3 hours and get chemo. You think God was showing me some stuff in the waiting? Absolutely. And so we wait for doctors, we wait in traffic, we wait for our grades, we wait for test scores, we wait for promotion or graduation, we wait to be accepted in a college or go to a trade school, we wait for our first job, we wait to see if the bank will loan us money, we wait for the right person to marry, we wait for the right time to start a family, we wait for the kids to grow up, we wait for grandkids, we wait for retirement, we wait for that loved one, that friend to come to Christ. We wait for that family member to come back to God. Most of our life, if you're honest, you've waited for things. You've waited. And I don't know if you've ever put these two together, but Jesus and waiting go hand in hand. Jesus waited 30 years to begin his ministry. We don't have much of his life in the first 30 years except for a couple instances. But he waited 30 years to start his earthly ministry, and then it only lasted 3 years. But he had to wait for his disciples, and he had to wait for crowds. And when he was 12, he waited for his parents to return and find him again, if you know that story. He waited for his crucifixion and his death. He waited 3 days for his resurrection. He waited 40 days for his ascension. And do you know what he's doing right now? Yes, he's waiting to return. Do you think Jesus, think God's word has anything to say about waiting? Absolutely. I put this in your notes, and this is kind of my thesis, if you were to say, if you could go back. Yes, faith is all about waiting on God, but there's another one. If you could go down, you'll see it. Faith works, listen to me, God works through waiting. God works through waiting. One of his greatest tools is that he is going to make you wait. And not because he's a mean God, not because he can't do it right now. He's teaching you something. He's making you more like Jesus. Because Jesus understood waiting, and so should we. So if you don't get anything else in this message, get this. God works through waiting. Now, I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to, if you can put up the next slide, I'm going to give you three things that waiting is not, and then I'm going to give you three things that waiting is. So really kind of simple. We'll run through these. It's going to make complete sense, all from the life of Abraham. Three things that waiting is not, and three things that waiting is. And then we'll wrap this up and see what God has for us. The first one is this. Waiting is not standing still. If you want to write that in your notes, waiting is not standing still. Genesis 12, verse 1, the Lord said to Abraham, or Abram, excuse me, his name was still Abram at that time. God hadn't changed it. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, your father's household, to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. All the peoples of the world will be blessed through you, which is clearly a reference to Jesus. That through his line, there's going to come this amazing blessing. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was, ready for this, 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated, and all the people they had acquired, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Many times in life, we love to attach waiting with standing still. But waiting is not standing still. Well, I'm just waiting on God. Yeah, that's fine. What are you doing? Because God is always at work, even in the waiting period. And I think a lot of times we just get this idea that we're just going to stand still and we're not going to do anything because we want to be totally in tune and in step with God. God is always on the move. But sometimes in the waiting period, standing still is not the right thing to do. And so God was going to do a great thing in Abraham's life. The Bible says he's going to make him a great nation. And I don't know if you know this, but Abraham at this point did not have any children. And, you know, I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I know this. In order to be a great nation, you have to have some type of offspring, child, to get that started. But he didn't have that. But God's like, I'm going to make you a great nation. But first, I want you to wait. I want you to gather all your things, the Bible says, and I want you to go, and there's going to be a waiting period. And so waiting is not standing still. Listen, friends, if you're waiting for something, for an answer to prayer, for guidance in your life, or a major decision, let me give you some advice. Listen, don't stand still. Don't stand still. Keep moving forward with God. Back to Hebrews 11, 8, if you could put it up. It says this, Hebrews 11, verse 8, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. I don't know about you, but they're action words, are they not? God's like, listen, I'm going to do a great thing in your life. I'm going to make you a great nation. There's something that I have planned for you, but here's what I need you to do. In the waiting, that's not going to happen yet. It's not going to be for another 25 years. But in that time period, I don't want you standing still. I have a plan and a purpose for you. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to go. I want you to obey. I want you to go. I want you to move. They're not passive words. They're active words. Waiting is not standing still, but it's moving ahead with God, even in the midst of waiting. Number two, if you're taking notes, waiting is not taking matters into your own hands. Waiting is not taking matters into your own hands. And listen, since we're confessing things, and I already confessed that I hate to wait, let me just confess this. I'd love to be in control. Right? Come on, don't leave me up here by myself. Where are my control freaks? Come on, be honest. Be honest. Yes, you have to raise your hand right now because you want to be in control. Somebody's got two hands up. I see that. That's awesome. I'll put two hands up so that I'm in control of this situation. But listen, I love to be able to know what I'm doing and direct my life, and I love taking matters into my own hands, but there are times when that can get you in trouble. And God is teaching me, and he has been teaching me over these last couple years, that guess what, Matt? You're not in control. God's at work. We don't see it every time. We don't know all that God is doing, but he is at work behind the scenes, orchestrating everything, and we have to learn to wait and trust him. And so Genesis 15, we were in 12. Go a few chapters over. A few years have passed since God moved Abraham and told him that he would be a father of a great nation. But nothing has happened. No pregnancy, no child, just waiting and more waiting. And so God comes to Abraham again. And Abraham, and I love this, Abraham fills God in on what's going on. Like somehow God doesn't know. Like, let me get you up to speed, God. I don't know if you're aware, but he says this: if I die without a child, my servant Eleazar is going to get my inheritance. He's like, God, don't you see? I mean, you promised me a child, okay, but nothing's happening here. Says this in verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, meaning Eleazar, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be an heir. He took him outside and said, look at the stars, look at the sky and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And so God makes this covenant with him. Like, listen, go out in the sky and look up and all the stars, you're going to have more descendants than the stars, even if you can count them. And then in chapter 16, something happens. In the waiting, Abraham and his wife Sarah decide to take matters into their own hands. Do you know the story? Look at verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. That's not true. That hasn't been said. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abram agreed to what Sarah said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years. So here we go. He's now 85 years old. It's been 10 years. He's moved. He's done what God has wanted. God has promised a great nation, but nothing's happened. So they're going to take matters into their own hands. So after Abraham had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarah, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. And when she knew she was pregnant, she began, this is Sarah, to despise her. Now, like I said, next week Pastor Gwen is going to do this whole thing on Sarah. I'm not going to get into the details. But I have to say this when I read the story. What was Abraham thinking? Like, don't amen, because your wife might be right next to you. You're getting in trouble for this. But just for a moment, I just picture this scene, like Sarah coming to Abraham and saying, hey, listen, I have this Egyptian slave. And Abraham's like, you know, the young, attractive one over there. Thank you for laughing. And then his wife's like, yeah, listen, we want to build a line through her. So here's what I need you to do. Yeah, I need you to go in that tent and sleep with her. Excuse me? What should Abraham have said? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I don't know if you saw how the beginning of this chapter went. It's like when they couldn't have children, and she actually makes the statement, well, God has kept me from having children. You know, it's not working out. God promised this. It's been 10 years. We've been waiting and waiting. We moved everyone and everything that we had to this foreign land. We're away from our family. Things aren't working out. And so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take matters into my own hands. Right? I've got this Egyptian slave. So why don't you sleep with her, and then we'll have an offspring through her. I don't know what Abraham was thinking. But he did that. And I don't know if you know the rest of the story. We don't have time to get into it, but it ended up being a huge mess. And can we just pause for a minute and kind of own this for ourselves? How many times have we in our own lives when we pray for something or want something and God doesn't answer or do it right when we want, and it's been maybe 6 months or year or even 6 years, we do? I'm going to go ahead and fix this. I'm going to go ahead and, obviously God doesn't want this or he's not paying attention, so I'm going to go ahead and take matters into my own hands, and we end up with a mess. That's exactly what happens with Abraham and Sarah. They end up with this huge mess because they decided to take matters into their own hands. Listen, let me tell you this. God doesn't need your help. God wants your trust. Let me say it again. God doesn't need your help. He really doesn't. But he wants your trust. And if in this waiting time, and I know I'm speaking to somebody today, in this waiting time, if you will just trust him and don't take matters into your own hands and continue to move forward and trust God, even in the waiting time, you can trust him. Waiting is not taking matters into your own hands, but it's trusting God in faith. Number three, if you're following along, waiting is not looking at just the present. Waiting is not just looking at this present moment, this circumstance, this situation, but it's seeing the big picture. And there is a big picture. Maybe you don't see it, but there's a big picture. That maybe that prayer request, maybe that health concern, maybe that financial difficulty, maybe God is working something out behind the scenes that you don't see, but God does. And we're so focused on right now, right here, what's right in front of us, that we miss the big picture of what God is doing. Genesis 17. Look at verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you, and you will greatly and will greatly increase your numbers. And so God comes to Abraham again. It's been waiting. This is a few more years past the whole son Ishmael and Sarah situation and Hagar, that whole situation. A few years have passed, and watch what Abraham is thinking. And we do this too. We do this too. We look at our present situation and we think, you know what? This is fine. This is fine. But it's not, because God is working. Verse 17, it says this. Watch, there's a great portion of this verse you have to get. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? If you read the story, he's actually 99, and so he knows it takes a while to have a baby. And he's like, listen, I'm going to be 100 next year. God's like, listen, I promised 24 years ago that I would make you a great nation, and I know you were 75 at that time, and you're going to be 100 next year. And Abraham's kind of wondering to himself, how can a son be born to a 100-year-old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? Verse 18 is huge. So many people miss this in the story. And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Here's what he's saying. He's saying this, listen, God, I have a son. It's not the son of promise. It's not the one you told me. But, you know, I went ahead and did things myself, and I've got a son. And we could just use this son, God. And God's like, no, that was never my plan. Are you tracking with me this morning? Did I lose you? Are you still there? This is huge in the story. Because I think we do this too. We look at our situation and we say, you know what? Well, I've got this already, God. And God's like, no. I've got something better for you. If you will just trust me. I want to do something great in your life. But there is a waiting period. It's not going to happen tomorrow or next week or maybe even next year. But God says, I see the big picture because time is laid out before me and I see everything. And in a year from now or 5 years from now or 10 years from now, something great is going to come out of this waiting period. And for Abraham, it was 24 years of waiting. And right when he got near the end, he's like, but I already have a son. And God's like, no, that's not the son of blessing. That's not how I'm going to do things. This is so huge, so important in this story. And then in chapter 21, it says, now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said. So huge. God's like, I gave my word. I don't go back on my word, I'm God. God was gracious to Sarah, just like he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. And Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised. And Abraham gave him the name Isaac to the son that Sarah bore. Verse 5, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter. And that is kind of funny. Come on. That's funny stuff. 90-year-old. You know the joke, right? All three of them are in diapers. Come on, somebody. Well, it kind of all depends, but okay, I'm sorry. I couldn't help that one. I'm sorry. Okay. God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about it will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham and Sarah that Abraham and Sarah would nurse children, yet I have borne him a son in this old age? They were looking at the present circumstances, and they were like, you know what? You know, my husband's 99, I'm 89. There's no way this is happening. But God was at work. God was doing something. And yes, they got off track with Hagar and Ishmael, but God was faithful because God gave his word. And let me just take a moment and say, listen, don't focus on the here and now. Yes, we need to know what's going on in our lives right now, but see the big picture. Waiting is not just focusing on what is right in front of you, my next meal or my next accomplishment or my next thing. It's seeing the big picture that God is at work. God is working through the waiting. He is. It's one of his best tools. And so waiting is not standing still. Waiting is not taking matters into your own hands. Waiting is not just looking at your present circumstances. Let me give you the three things that waiting is in this story of Abraham. Waiting is, listen, a way for God to rearrange our priorities. Waiting is a way for God to rearrange our priorities. Back to Hebrews 11, verse 9. It says, by faith, he made his home, Abraham, in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. So God tells Abraham way back, I want you to go. Take all your stuff and just go. And Abraham obeyed. He did what God wanted. God was in the next, we know because we read the story, in the next 25 years of Abraham's life, God was rearranging his priorities through the waiting. God knew that if Abraham had stayed in the land that he was in, that he would have just continued just like his father before him and his grandfather before him and the people before him. And so God moved him out of his comfort zone, moved him out of what was familiar into something new so that God could rearrange his priorities. And God does the same thing in our lives. God at times takes us out of the comfortable, out of the familiar, so that he can rearrange some things in our lives because we get our priorities mixed up. God takes us out of the comfortable, out of the cozy, into a new place and says, trust me for this. Trust me. Waiting is a way for God to reposition our lives, to reposition or to refocus or to relocate what we're doing and where we're going. God uses the waiting period to do that. Ask yourself this question. If you're in a waiting period, in this time of waiting, what is it in my life that God needs to rearrange? Maybe it's an unhealthy friendship, or maybe it's God wants you to focus on something. You know, whatever it is in your life, God wants to do something in that waiting period. And waiting sometimes is a way for God to rearrange priorities. It could be something with your family. It could be a friendship. It could be finances. It could be something with your future. It could be just trusting God, taking a step of faith. So waiting is a way for God to rearrange our priorities. Number two, waiting is a way for God to increase our trust in him. Throughout the story of Abraham, we see God showing up just at the right time, encouraging Abraham. If you want to read the story, it's chapter 12, into chapter 22, which we'll be in a couple of weeks, where God asks Abraham to take his son, his only son, and to sacrifice him. And Abraham goes to do it. It's an amazing story. We'll get into that in a couple weeks. But in this whole time of waiting, God is working to increase his trust in Abraham. In Hebrews 11, verse 11, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And so from this one man, and as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. I was telling a friend of mine last night what I was speaking about. And I said, you know, Abraham was promised this land of Canaan. And he goes there and, God tells him, you know, all the land that you see is going to be yours one day. And Abraham never saw that. Like, he never experienced that. The Bible says he lived in tents. that God never established it. And the only piece of property that Abraham ever owned was his burial plot. And do you know where he saw this great promised land? Do you know where he saw it from? His seat in heaven. Like, that's where he experienced it. He didn't get to see it all come to fruition. He didn't get to see all that. He got to see it in heaven. You know, we don't like to think like that. But maybe what God is doing in your life, maybe it's going to be something that you're going to get a front row seat in the decades to come. Maybe that family member. Maybe that friend or that coworker, that boss, that situation that you've been praying about and trusting God for. Maybe you're not going to see it on this side of eternity. Maybe like Abraham, you're going to see it on the other side. But God is doing something in that time period. And God is not just rearranging our priorities. Waiting is a way for God to increase our trust in him. And I'm sure that there were times in Abraham's 25 years of waiting for a child that he thought, you know what? Maybe I miss God. Maybe this really wasn't a good idea to pack up everything I own and to go to a foreign land where I don't know anybody and there's nobody there. And the whole time God was using this waiting period as an opportunity for God to expand his faith, to expand his trust. What God has done in my life in the last 2 years, the waiting to see a doctor, the waiting for test results, the waiting for surgery, the waiting for chemo, all that stuff, God was at work. God was at work. I got my scans 2 weeks ago. There's one spot that they're concerned about. And here's the great news, and this is what I find pretty amazing, because, listen, I don't know if you deal with doctors. They're great people, but, you know, the oncologist that I see, most of his patients die. like you know, that's a difficult field to be in. And so last year when we first had a couple spots on my lungs, they were kind of like, okay, let's do chemo and then we'll see what happens. And they really weren't giving me a lot of hope. Now, I know my hope is in Christ. And I know, if you know my story, you know why I went in the chemo room, because God told me to go in. Because there were 16 people that my wife and I prayed for. And Cliff knows this and Renee knows this. And we took a few people from the church in with us in the chemo room. And we prayed for people and God did amazing things. But now there's this one spot in particular that actually grew a little from February, from my last chemo. And my doctor comes in and he's got this look on his face, and it's not a look of hopelessness. He's got this look of, hey, we can get this one spot. Now, it's not going to be through surgery, but they're thinking they have this radiation beam. Not that I want to do radiation, but they make this body cast, right? And they drill this little hole in it and they shoot this beam of radiation into where the spot is, and this is the amazing thing. They can eradicate that one spot just like that. Takes about, you know, 2 weeks to do it, and it's radiation every day. And he says, listen, it's 15 minutes and then you go home. More waiting. But listen, God is at work. And I can't tell you, I can't express to you, I can't even put it in words how much during this last 2 years God has expanded my faith. How God has grown my faith. And you know where it's come? In the waiting period. In the waiting, in the trusting, in the saying, you know what? I wouldn't have chosen this, but God chose this for me, and I trust him. I trust him. And God is at work. And this now becomes another part of my journey and my story and my faith and my trust in God. And so they're like, listen, have a great summer. We'll see you in September. And I was like, giddy up. God is at work. Even in the waiting. And listen, I want to tell you what I'm praying so you can be praying the same thing for me. I'm praying that the spots are gone. That's what I'm believing God for. It's never wavered. It's never changed. Listen, I'm trusting and believing God that the spots are going to be gone. Now, and I've said this from the beginning, I've prayed and asked God for, I don't care if you do it through a medicine or a miracle, I just want it all gone. I don't care how he does it. I don't care. It doesn't matter, right? It's all God anyways. And so God is at work. God is at work, and you can trust him in the waiting period. And waiting is this way for God to increase your trust, to expand your faith, to grow you. And that's what God did with Abraham. Over the 25 years, God was expanding and growing his faith and trust in him. God works through the waiting. Here's the last one. Listen. Waiting is a way for God to remind us that nothing is impossible with him. Nothing is impossible with him. We've got to go back to Genesis 18. I'm just going to put it on the screen so I can read it for you. Verse 9, God comes to them. "Where's your wife Sarah?" they asked. "They're in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year. Sarah, your wife, will have a son." This is kind of going back into the middle of the story. Right? God comes again. This is right before God destroys Sodom and Gomorrah, if you know that story. But he stops off and he sees Abraham. And now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old." That's funny. That's really funny. "Will I now have this pleasure?" And then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is there anything too hard or difficult for God?" There's not. And so you might be here this morning and you might be overwhelmed with a situation. You might have been praying for something for a long time. It's been, Pastor, it's been years. It's been decades. I've been asking God for the same thing. And I would tell you this, listen, in the waiting, it's a way for God to remind us nothing is impossible for him. And that's what this story tells us. Nothing is too difficult for God. And so let me encourage someone today. Let me speak into your heart. Listen, that situation that seems impossible, that circumstances that seems overwhelming, that decision that's pending, that health concern or that financial difficulty or whatever you're facing, let me just tell you this. Nothing is too difficult for God. Nothing. There's nothing outside of his greatness and goodness that he can't reach into your life and change that situation. But maybe he's using that waiting period to grow your faith. There is this waiting that's involved. And so kind of let me just wrap up this message with, what does God want to show you in the waiting? Like, what does God want to show you in the periods of your life where you have to wait on God? What is he showing you? Because waiting's not standing still. Waiting is not taking matters into your own hands. Waiting is not looking at just your current situation and not seeing the big picture. But waiting is rearranging some things in your life and saying, you know what, I've got to get some priorities in order. I've got to trust God. Waiting is expanding your faith and trusting God more. Waiting reminds us that, you know what, nothing is impossible for God. And so this story of Abraham and Sarah are a great example from the Bible of people that waited. But you know, there's some other people in the Bible that waited too. The Bible says that Joseph waited over a decade in prison for his promotion. You know what? I'm not signing up for that one. It says that Moses waited 40 years on the backside of the desert in order to lead the people out of slavery. 40 years as a shepherd. It says that Joshua waited 40 years in the desert before he could get to the promised land. Ruth waited for a husband. Maybe you're waiting for that, trusting God for that. David waited to become king. Elijah waited for rain. Job waited for his suffering to end. Peter waited to be restored so Jesus could restore him. Paul waited in prison. Listen, you can go through the Bible. There's all these people that waited, that waited, that waited. And I would love to stand up here and tell you that, you know what, let's just pray and it's going to happen. But that's not how God operates. There are times he does. But my experience in my life is that God uses the waiting period to mold me and shape me into the person he wants me to be. And he's going to do the same for you. One last verse, the last verse we read this morning, Hebrews 11, verse 16, it says this. Instead, this is talking about Abraham and Sarah, they were longing for a better country. A heavenly one. I would encourage you in the waiting time, keep your eyes on God. know that this is not the end. However bad it gets, how overwhelmed you feel, this is not the end. God is at work. There's something greater to come. Would you stand with me, church? We don't have time to get into it, but the rest of Abraham's story is God does make them a great nation. And what's amazing is thousands of years later, that nation is still around today. On that same promised land, which is pretty incredible. Listen. God can be trusted. God can be trusted. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of who you are. And Lord, I know there are some folks in here today that this is a difficult message. To hear that God works through the waiting, through those difficult times. But Lord, today, we declare that we trust you. And that, Lord, maybe there's someone in here this morning that has been standing still. I pray that they would get the courage to move ahead with you, to trust you. Or maybe they've tried to take matters into their own hands and they've made a mess. God, would you come in like only you can and clean that up? And God, forgive us maybe for just looking at the situation and not seeing the big picture, not seeing the heavenly one, that you are at work. And so God, expand our faith through the waiting. Lord, we trust you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.